Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This is Gerard Gibbert, and thank you for listening to Middays here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Middays with Gerard Gibbert is on the air. Middays with Gerard Gibbert is powered by CSpire. Power your home or business with CSpire fiber. To learn more, visit supertalk.fm/CSpire. CSpire fiber powers Super Talk Mississippi.
Get ready to go beyond the headlines and join a meaningful conversation with people from around the state. You're listening to Middays with Gerard Gibbert here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Midday Super Talk Mississippi. I'm your host, Gerard Gibbert, along with Rhino in the Element Well Studio, guiding you through the middle of your day with facts, fodder, and fine music. Morning, Rhino.
Howdy, howdy.
Okay, I got in a hurry this morning, left my headset in the car, so I'm using one of the guest headsets, and I can only hear out of the right ear. It does not function in the boom on the other side there. So I'll make my way through it and head on out to the parking lot and get my headset on the break here. So a lot of stuff going on. It is Neshoba County Fair Week. We're all set for that. You know, we're going to be there Wednesday and Thursday. Middays will. Mornings with Richard Cross will be on hand at Founders Square there on Thursday as well. So Middays 2 days. Mornings on Thursday, and then at 1 o'clock on Thursday, it's the house band on the stage there at the track. Final practice is this evening. We got to get ready for the big concert. So we'll get it going for sure. We got another one today. I went and set the kit up this morning. They had the big wildlife expo in the Trademark this past weekend. That's a great event, by the way. I've been a few times. And so they're in there disassembling it this morning. But I got in there early. They were kind enough. Great people to work with, by the way, down there at the fairgrounds. Really appreciate the commissioner and his team for allowing us to use a little room there to set up and practice as we get ready. So the president announced a big old trade deal with the EU. This is one of those achievements that thought was not possible. I didn't. I thought it was possible because, and I tell you what I thought about this morning. The Democrats said that all these tariffs and all these trade deals would totally collapse the economy and just constant fear-mongering about all the negative consequences. We haven't seen that. Now, I absolutely believe that we haven't seen the full impact of the various tariffs implemented. It takes a while, so it's a little premature to celebrate. But this did occur to me. Would we have made any progress toward just addressing the various trade problems? I don't necessarily believe that trade imbalances and disparities are a huge problem. I think that's a function of the fact that this country's just significantly wealthier than our trading partners, also more population. So you would expect us to have a bit of a surplus. Well, it's a deficit from our perspective, that we import more than we export. So that's not a huge concern to me. Where it becomes a concern is when these other countries do what the president has exposed numerous times. They just have just onerous restrictions and tariffs that make it extremely difficult for producers in this country of a large range of products to export and do business with the other countries. That's the problem that needs to be corrected, and I think we're going a long way towards that. Now, this EU tariff or trade deal, I should say, with the EU, with, what, 20-something or so nations involved in that, I think, Rhino? So, you know, that was a really complicated deal. Some, by the way, are happy. Some aren't, which is not unexpected when you got that many parties trying to agree to something that is this deep.
Well, in fairness, about three-quarters of the EU believe that they are on par or better than America as far as an economic zone.
Yeah.
When the numbers don't match their la-la land reality.
And that's exactly right. And so the bottom line is 15% tariff on goods that come from the EU into this country. 0%, for the most part, on goods exported into the EU. That's good news from that perspective. That obviously puts us at a bit of an advantage from a tariff percent perspective. And then the EU is also, this is where I get just a little skeptical of the amount of energy they've agreed to buy. Honestly, I think they were going to buy it anyhow because it was getting to the point where this consuming natural gas, in particular, that's the main energy product from Russia, was becoming problematic. They have agreed to buy a significant amount of military hardware. This country, of course, produces the finest on the planet. No question about that. That's good news for the companies that make those items. And then they've also agreed to invest, $600 billion in this country? And my concern here is that they often make these deals, and then they don't honor them. And so I hope that there are consequences for not honoring those agreements, those terms. There should be, in my view. But where I'm going here that kind of, I think, illustrates the essence of this, if we were under a President Kamala Harris, you think any of this would have happened? We'd have just continued status quo. And here's why I think that is. And
Status quo would have gotten worse.
We would have gotten taken advantage of even further. But this is what occurred to me. This is a president that comes from the business world. He thinks in business terms. He values business relationships. Trade deals are business relationships. It's what he did for a career and got wealthy doing it. On the other hand, the ilk of a Kamala Harris and Democrats in general, they never even think about anything like that. It's always, what can government do? And I don't mean as far as negotiating trade deals. I don't even consider that government, honestly. That's just the president acting in a business capacity on behalf of the country and industry in this country. But they think in terms of, what programs can we create, enhance, provide more funding to? You know what I'm saying here? They always think about addressing any issue with more government. This isn't that.
Which one of my friends' pockets can I funnel money into?
Good point. So it would never occur to them, hey, you know what? If we negotiated more favorable deals with our trading partners, that might be good for the country. It just never occurs to them. It's always,
well, they hate this country.
Well, and I think
they don't want to see it succeed.
That's sad.
Because they're
really
evil.
I hate that you're right in that respect. But this is the difference, again, in having a business person involved at a high level of government or all levels of government. And people who have just fed off the taxpayers, such as Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and so many others in government, they're just government animals, career government figures. Can't think of anything but government. And they'll tell you, oh, it's public service. No, it's not. That ain't public service. It's also inconsistent and in conflict with the founders' vision. The founders didn't expect that you'd enter government at especially a young age and just stay there forever. That's not what the concept of our founding was based on. It was based on short term, leave the farm, truly do sacrifice, and make sure the neighbors take care of the family, go away, do the people's business for a while, and get your butt back. That's the way it was designed. And the idea was, it's really interchangeable, to your point. Everybody loved the country, wanted to do the best for the country. I don't think they envision an environment that we witness today where we got about half the country that just hates it, wants to reimagine
it. Being led by the nose by the asinine Pied Pipers of the Democratic left.
Terrible.
Just, yeah, come on, vote for me. We all hate America, right?
Absolutely.
It's evil, right?
Absolutely.
It's horrible. We should just tear it all down, right? That's 2025 Democrats for you.
And I'm seeing
that's why
more,
they got 19% approval.
More and more of that in my news feeds.
Because sane people don't vote Democrat anymore.
We're stepping aside for a break. We've got Nora Miller, the president of the Mississippi University of Women, coming up at 11:05. Stay with us.
If you're feeling anxious about your...
This segment of Middays with Gerard Gibbert is brought to you by Covington County Hospital in Collins, where your health matters.
Now back to Middays with Gerard here on Super Talk Mississippi.
We're back with you in the Element Well studio, and I'm out of breath. Made it just in time, ran out to the parking lot, grabbed my headset. I can hear out in both ears now. So the president has also put a deadline on Russia. 10 to 12 days away, get your act together. You're not happy with old Putin. I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't see Russia decreasing the activity in the region in Ukraine, and nor is Ukraine.
It's because they have to win or they will be consumed by China.
You think that's what's going on there?
Oh, yeah. They have shown their paper tiger weaknesses to the entire world. If the Ukraine, with people constantly fighting over whether or not they should be given anything, are now kicking their butts.
Yeah. That's true.
And China, the frenemy of Russia, has some provinces that Russia has controlled since the days of the USSR that China just recently has decided, well, you know what? Those provinces used to be ours. And since they used to be our provinces, we're going to rename those on our maps to new names.
So perhaps Russia did not include that in their calculus.
No, but it's not really something you would want to include in your calculus of whether or not you could complete the strategic military operation or whatever the heck they're calling it. But it is historically accurate for when someone in Asia starts getting their tail whipped, China decides, ooh, I want a piece of it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I just noted that it continues to endure not a lot of change, honestly. I think the president felt like he could broker a deal. He said that on the campaign trail, but Putin is not trustworthy. I'm not sure Ukraine and Zelensky, I wouldn't exactly put him in the category of trustworthy either.
And that's why now that Europe is having to foot a big chunk of the bill for Ukraine's defense, they're asking questions about, whether or not Zelensky can be trusted or if there is too much corruption within his regime to continue sending so much money and equipment.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly a concern, no doubt about it. Not sure if you saw this or not, but it's probably because it hasn't received any coverage in the national media. A white couple brutally beaten at a jazz festival by a black teen mob in Cincinnati. This happened over the weekend. There are videos of it. Very disturbing, by the way. Like, for what purpose? Just hate?
I'm sure the excuse would be that they said the magic word.
Oh, I see. Well, of course, that's kind of like the default, isn't it? Well, there's no evidence of that.
There's also no excuse for word equals fist to face.
Absolutely.
We live in a civilized society.
Well, how
is... At least we think we do.
How is that any different than what happened in Israel not so long ago? October 7th. How's that any different? I mean, this seems like it was just an unprovoked attack, best I can tell.
That's about the only similarity I see. Because, I mean, Hamas was paragliding in with machine guns, and
yeah,
teen thugs were just swarming.
Well, that's true. Up to no good. Man. So, now, for what it's worth, there's someone on Twitter called who goes by the handle of Cincinnati Black. Says black people were assaulted first and finished it. I don't see it, though. I mean, I'm looking at the video that he published, and like, okay, I don't see what you're talking about here. I don't know what the heck that's all about. But Elon Musk points out that the national media didn't cover the story. Nobody in the national media.
Well, it doesn't fit the media's narrative.
I guess not. So, it's kind of interesting. And they're saying that they were defending themselves. I mean, defending themselves from this middle-aged couple here? I mean, they don't have any weapons on them or anything. So, I don't know. It's just...
Tribalistic rationalizations are always going to be there.
Yeah.
Just look at the kid that killed the other kid in Texas. Didn't he raise like $500,000 on GoFundMe and now he's being charged with murder?
Yeah. So, Grok says, this is weird because Elon Musk denounces the fact that the national media didn't report it, yet his AI tool, Grok, it's posted as an account. No, this claim is false. No verified reports of violence at Cincinnati's Music Fest on July 26, 2025. Local news confirm it proceeded peacefully. The images video match a June 24 teen mob attack on a couple in Chicago Streeterville. Recirculated as misinformation. So who's right here? Elon Musk or the AI tool associated? I don't know. It just seems like it's just business as usual, though, whenever white people are the victims of any kind of crime. I don't care if this happened in Chicago. I don't remember it being a big news story back then either. So
never will be with those particular demographic makeups of the perpetrators and the victims.
Well, and
reverse the roles, and oh my goodness, Katie, bar the door. They'll have 20,000 news people there within 24 hours.
Someone on Twitter says, when a Muslim is attacked, it's called Islamophobia. When a Jewish person is attacked, it's anti-Semitism. When a black person is attacked, it's racism. When a trans person is attacked, it's transphobia. But when a white person is attacked, it's just business as usual. Does seem that way, doesn't it? It's kind of sad that our country is divided on this basis like this, and that we do have violence. We were talking about it in our meeting this morning. There seems to be a rash of violence across the towns in Mississippi, small towns and cities. What the heck's going on there?
Well, there's one particularly disturbing trend that I don't think it's made its way to Mississippi, but I've seen one video from Alabama, or purportedly from Alabama, and several from Florida. So it's in the Southeast. And it's a real quick way to find out, as they're saying, because the trend is to get you and a group of your friends to go knock on a door, and when they answer the door, point a fake gun at them and pull the trigger.
Oh.
Like a BB gun, like, yeah, a little airsoft gun. Not a BB gun, but airsoft gun. It's just a little plastic pellets. They're designed to look pretty realistic because it's war gaming when you play with them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's a real quick way to have extra holes in your body.
Yeah, that just shouldn't be going on either. All of this stuff is just, it's sad to see our country at each other's throats literally like that. Some of that, of course, is because there are people in this country that justify this sort of stuff, sanction it, validate it, and they deliver that message. So the people committing these crimes think, oh, okay, it's okay, right? This is really not harmful. It's not hurtful. It's not causing any problem. I'm supposed to do this. I really do think that message is provoking a lot of that. Man. Well, we're going to come back after this break. Got a little Tom Petty bumping us out of this segment. I got the headset on now, in good shape. Watching the markets today, the Dow down 10 points. It's kind of hanging around the unchanged line. Crude oil, however, up over $66 a barrel. It's really not moving the last 3 or 4 months. The NASDAQ in the green somewhat. It's a big week for earnings from several of the Magnificent Seven. More about that on the other side of the break. We're in the Element Well studio, and it's Nora Miller, the president of Mississippi University of Women, coming up at 11:05 to talk about the Mississippi School for Math and Science staying on the W's campus.
MDigital.com to get started today.
Days with Gerard Gibbert, here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Being beat up and battered around, being sent up and I've been shot down. You're the best thing that I've ever found.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Middays from the Element Well studio. By the way, Caleb Sailors from Super Talk Mississippi News wanted me to remind everyone that he will be on hand as well, covering the Neshoba County Fair. I just heard the forecast there, though, 70% chance of rain for some point on Wednesday. That'd be nice. Nice and muddy.
And muggy.
Yeah. It's going to be hot and muggy. A little rain comes through. Man.
Hopefully. Just don't wear anything you don't mind getting stained.
Yeah.
Red.
So I have to get in the fairgrounds there early Wednesday, Thursday, when we're playing, get the drum set up. And
you
someone.
Got any waiters?
No, no. And someone in the group said, in our band said, you know, it's going to be sitting there, our stuff, for a few hours before we play. There's a possibility that it might get covered with the red dust from the dirt there at the fairgrounds, near the track especially. So my wife went out and got a couple of, like, drop cloths, you know, for painting that I can put over my drums to protect them from the sand, from the dust.
Oh, yeah.
So that makes sense. Total sense. But that ought to be good. Good event. We got all the usual lineup of political officials that will be speaking. And, you know, generally, because they speak at the time we're on the air, we have a good view of Founders Square there under the tent, the little stage at the podium. And typically they head straight from that over to the set, which is always kind of cool. So I haven't taken a look at the lineup yet, but I'm sure we'll have all
shaking every hand and kissing every baby on the way from the podium to the set.
We'll have all those involved. We'll be on hand on one of the shows. Of course, for Richard in the morning show, they got to get him out of bed to come over and do interviews for that because they don't start speaking.
Well, in the show, by the time he gets on the air, I'm certain there will still be some people still awake from the day before.
Yeah. Well, interesting. Looking forward to it. Nothing like it in the entire country, if not the world. Such a venue that is a combination of a good time at the fair and, of course, the fairgrounds themselves with the cabins all decorated up. It's kind of neat. And, of course, all the political speeches still going on. When was it Ronald Reagan came? Was it 80? 1980, I think, that he came to the fair and addressed Mississippians. That's kind of neat. A lot of folks have photos of that, memories of that.
Yeah, August 3rd, 1980.
There you go. Now, next year, we have Scott Bounds on. He's the president of the Neshoba County Fair, a member of the Mississippi House. He told us that they're moving it to June next year, right? So, yeah, but it's been underway, I think, last Thursday. Fair kicked off.
Well, they have to move it up a bit because school schedules have moved up a bit and starting earlier and earlier to the point where now you have school going back the same week as the Neshoba County Fair in some parts of the Magnolia State, so he's cutting into people's ability to go.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a wise move, honestly, so look forward to that next
year. Maybe a couple degrees cooler.
Yeah, I would agree. Mo's talking about the Democrats. I just mentioned earlier about the president negotiating really this breakthrough trade deal with the EU, something that his detractors said was just not possible. And I just offered the analysis that the Democrats in this country don't even think about things like this. They're so far removed from just business relationships and the benefit of mutual transactions.
They're removed from reality.
They're always thinking in terms of more government programs, more taxes, more programs. That's the solution.
And they filter everything through the lens of a pie-in-the-sky ideology based on asinine academics.
Which is obviously not the way to produce the best outcomes for Americans. Mo says, yeah, they've kind of reversed Kennedy's challenge. It's now don't ask what you can do for your country, as President Kennedy famously said, but what can my country do for me? Yeah, it does seem to be reversed. I've observed the same thing, Mose. I agree with you that, you know, that's one of the most famous quotes by a president ever, I would argue. It's very memorable, and certainly for those of us I was very young at the time, but studied it, and you've seen that no doubt the video, of course, this was in the early days where we were able to record such events, black and white, the president, John F. Kennedy, who exactly, right, Mose, issued that
challenge.
It is
funny going back and looking at what we learned about the presidents at an early age and how much of it was just, yeah, okay, sure,
yeah,
whatever.
That's
like
true.
George Washington. How many of you grew up hearing George Washington said, I cannot tell a lie? That's not true. Or George Washington threw a quarter across the Potomac. The quarter didn't exist.
Yep.
And you definitely didn't throw it across the river.
Exactly. But it it earned
But it
some
was
fame.
In all those little factoid books they gave you in elementary school.
Factoid, yeah, that's true. DJ and Summit says, a headline scrolling on our screen on our video feed says that Mississippi State is launching an AI initiative with Amazon Web Service. What does that mean for students going there? And I'm looking at it as well. I suspect that there's a story about this, by the way, DJ. I haven't looked, Rhino, but usually what you see scrolling there relates to, links to a story on our website. So as far as what it means to students, students that want to study further artificial intelligence, I believe what it means is that AWS, Amazon Web Service, is working in concert with Mississippi State to create some training.
Yeah, I think they're opening up internships, and they're partnering with, from what I remember reading, they're partnering with State to help with their communications with students and alumni and to help with their outreach and advertising.
Okay, so there you go. Thank you, Rhino. So, but Amazon made it clear as part of their investment in Mississippi, they were investing a lot in education, not just the typical sort of dedicated workforce training, but just overall education to try to prepare students for the jobs that they seek to hire, not just in Mississippi, but honestly nationally. I mean, globally. They've got data centers all over the place, and they're hiring people into these jobs. So this is all good news, I believe. And I think Amazon is going to be a fantastic business partner for the state of Mississippi. I mean, they already are. They've made massive investments already in the state in fulfillment centers. And this extends, of course, their investment, this big data center project in Madison County. I think there's more to come on that as well. But they understand that it's in their best interest to work in conjunction with our workforce development groups, and also our universities and our community colleges, and honestly, K through 12 as well, to just expose students to the industry and opportunities, and hopefully equip them with some skills that well positions them for the jobs of the future. I caught an article that was somewhat interesting. See if I can find it here. Yeah, Visa. You know who those guys are, the credit card people. They're launching data centers, a data center at least, in Johannesburg, South Africa. $57 million. Now, this is not on par with the big hyperscale facilities being built here, but I thought it was kind of interesting. They have four other data centers, two in the U.S., one in the U.K., and one in Singapore. So the U.K. and Singapore facilities announced in 2017-22, they announced a big Virginia data center, totally powered by solar energy. Seems a little risky, but that's what they got going on. Really interesting. You were talking the other day, we were talking about Palantir, a company that is certainly reaping the benefits of the explosion of artificial intelligence and data analytics tools is what they make. You talk about extracting data from your transactional systems and transferring that data, storing it in data warehouses, data lakes, so that it is appropriately structured for further decision-making, decision support systems, data analytics, KPIs, and so forth. And their value has doubled this year because they believe that artificial intelligence injected into Palantir's tool set is making the company more valuable. They've landed a number of contracts, by the way, has Palantir, with the federal government, including the Department of Defense, utilizing their technology and just figuring out how to fight the future of war. We're coming right back in the Element Well studio.
Hey, this is Bob.
You're listening to Middays with Gerard here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Steely Dan. Go back, Jack. Classic tune there. We're back with you in the Element Well studio. Ben from Madison says, I was surprised to see President Trump break with Netanyahu on children starving in Gaza. A lot of those pictures are really disturbing. Really pray that war will end soon. I agree. The photos are really bothersome to look at. And it's just so sad to see children who are unfortunately unassuming victims in this situation that just because of where they are, honestly. They didn't do anything to
bring this on themselves. It would be helpful to their cause if the propagandists weren't constantly putting out pictures from other conflicts of children in dire in distress or staging videos of children in distress just for the propaganda point of it.
Well, that you've always got concerns, do you not, about deep fakes and fabricated content that might not be reality. There's always a concern of that. But the president did say it's been very difficult to deal with Hamas. He said the militant group uses the remaining 20 hostages it's holding as, quote, protection. Well, sure they are. And I think that's something that the president is trying to figure out a way to grapple with there. So he says, I'm speaking to Netanyahu and we are coming up with various plans, adding that the situation could be resolved very quickly, his words, if not for the hostages. And that's a concern, right? You take action that might bring the conflict to an end, and they take it upon themselves to essentially assassinate these children that are held as hostages. They're about doing that now through starving them. He said, the most sensible option is to address the situation through, quote, talk and negotiations, end quote, but that it might not be possible to resolve it, quote, unless you are very ruthless, end quote. So that wouldn't produce the optimum outcome for sure, but
I mean, there's one surefire way to at least walk back the hostilities.
Yeah.
And that's for Hamas to give up the hostages.
Yeah.
They're still holding hostages.
And I think that's
bodies of hostages.
I think that's what the president's saying, is that, you know, any action they would take might provoke them to take more severe action against the hostages, and of course you got the bodies as well. So yeah, I don't know what a good solution is there, but I'm sure smart people are trying to figure out a way to attain an end to this thing while protecting the lives of the hostages. That's what you're seeking. But who knows how they've got these people locked up and what sort of systems and orders they have in place where the just slightest little attack, right, could prompt them to just take the hostages out. And I think that's what they're trying to avoid. Not a good situation. For sure.
The ball's in Hamas's court. They're the ones holding the hostages. If they want it to end, they got to give up the hostages.
I think they see that as their leverage at this point.
They have no leverage.
I agree.
They picked a fight they couldn't win. And the only reason they're garnering any sympathy is because the media is lying to you about it half the time.
Yeah. That's also a problem, is that what you can trust is being reported in the region about all that. Shifting gears a bit, more crazy stuff in commercial air traffic. Delta Airlines pilot was detained, hauled off a flight by feds just after they landed in San Francisco. You saw this report? This is bizarre.
And the only scuttlebutt I saw, it's unconfirmed, but the only reasoning I've seen given was because the pilot was allegedly in possession of kiddie porn.
Okay, I haven't seen that, because the last report I saw, which was last night, they didn't know why. There were no details. And so that's been updated since then. Okay.
It hasn't been officially confirmed. Okay. It hasn't been necessarily reported in any meaningful news outlet, but that was the scuttlebutt.
This happened at 9:30 p.m. on Saturday. 10 federal agents boarded the aircraft without explanation, busted up there in the cockpit, and handcuffed him, took him out. We're coming right back with Nora Miller from MUW.
Our Middays with Gerard Gibbert is brought to you by the Mississippi Business Journal. Visit msbusinessjournal.com. Scott Coopwood, publisher and president.
Get ready to go beyond the headlines and join a meaningful conversation with people from around the state. You're listening to Middays with Gerard Gibbert here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back, everyone. It's hour two of Middays from the Element Well Studio. It's Monday. That means it's a two-hour show, short gig today. It's Ricky Matthews with Super Talk Outdoors at 12:05 today. But now it's Nora Miller, president of the Mississippi University for Women. Hey, Nora, good to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Sure. Thank you for having me. Glad to have a statewide audience.
You bet. So give us an update on the W. How are things going? You guys are about to kick off the fall semester. What's enrollment look like? You all set?
We're all set. We've got MSMS students. We'll be moving in on campus next weekend. We've got our students moving in on the 16th, and things are looking good. So we're excited about another year starting up.
Let's talk about the
Looks good.
Let's talk about the Mississippi School for Mathematics and Science, the MSMS facility and school is, of course, on the campus of the W. There's been some controversy surrounding its location there at the W. There's some folks that want to relocate it.
It's true. Mississippi School for Math and Science was founded here on our campus 37, almost 38 years ago now. It was placed here as Governor William Winter wanted to kind of emulate the School for Math and Science in North Carolina. He started a little bit smaller with the idea of the Governor's School, and the W was able to host the Governor's School, and then it just became a natural outreach for us to have Mississippi School for Math and Science on this campus. As a matter of fact, the founding legislation that establishes MSMS states that it would be on the campus of Mississippi University for Women. Lowndes County contributed money in the very beginning to prepare the facilities for them. And so they've been here for 37 years, and there hasn't been any significant investment in their facilities. And as you know, 37 years, a lot, you know, buildings get older and things need to be upgraded. The agreement that we have with the State Department of Education stated that we would do the routine maintenance, and any renovations or improvements would be the responsibility of the State Board of Education to get the funding for that. And there hasn't been any significant investment. So MSMS needs upgrading of facilities for the residence halls. They need some improvements to their laboratories and some of their other spaces. In the 24 legislative session, there was a bill introduced that would have moved MSMS to Starkville and actually would have merged us with Mississippi State. No action was taken on that. Then in December of this past year, the State Board of Education formed a committee to look at the needs for MSMS and to look at their possible expansion. So we expected that to be a pretty thorough process. But in February, there was an RFP that was sent to Mississippi State and to the W, asking for our proposals for housing MSMS in the future. We were given 17 days to turn that around. So that was a very quick turnaround. We really have a problem with the whole process, the way it laid out. That is not the normal procedure for an RFP. And when I got the request, I questioned why it was just the two universities and not all of the eight public universities given this opportunity. And was told that it was because of the good relationship that both Mississippi State and we had with MSMS. But we really feel that the process that was followed was unfair, it was biased, and it was a predetermined decision. The request for proposal referenced engineering schools, which, of course, we don't have. I also had questioned how the proposals would be graded, what the rubric was, and I was told that they would develop that after they received the proposals. So it just didn't seem to me like they were really going through a full RFP process. I was asked to give information on one contact person. I gave my cell number, my work number, emails, all of that. Never got a question, never asked for any clarification on the proposals. The two proposals that were submitted, ours and Mississippi State's, were very different. We addressed the ongoing cost of maintaining and providing services for MSMS. Mississippi State's proposal did not address that. They were talking about the cost for facility needs and building a campus or a campus within the Starkville-Oktibbeha County School District's partnership school. There would be classes that Starkville-Oktibbeha County students would be taking with the MSMS students. So there were just a few things there that I felt were not given real consideration.
Nora, what's the enrollment of MSMS?
They're about 245.
And are they day students, or do they also live on campus?
No, they are residential students, and that's a very important part of the whole concept for MSMS. It was founded to bring these bright students from all across the state where they could be in a supportive environment, where they could challenge each other. And part of that community sense comes from, you know, living the residence halls and being together like this. So taking them out of that and putting them in with high school students from Starkville-Oktibbeha County kind of negates that special atmosphere and that special community that they have had.
What's your expectation, Nora, for this coming legislative session? Is this going to get some attention again? Is there going to be a proposal to relocate the school?
Well, the State Board of Education did recommend that MSMS be moved to Starkville. That happened at the end of the regular session this year, and it was not taken up at all. So we are hoping that we can kind of shoot this out before it ever gets to the legislature. The request from Mississippi State asked for $85 million to build a new high school campus in Starkville that would technically be part of the Starkville-Oktibbeha County School District.
Okay.
Our request was a total of $60 million, and that would have been providing new residential facilities and upgrades to the others. So, there were no funds at all awarded for construction or bonds or anything like that in this past session. So I don't know that the state is willing to invest $85 million in this campus. And the reason we're really glad to be able to have this statewide conversation is because this really affects every taxpayer in the state of Mississippi. Wherever you live, you should expect that the state's going to invest $85 million in a high school for Starkville-Oktibbeha County. Then I think everybody else needs to be asking their legislator, you know, where's money for our high school? So this is a statewide issue.
Gotcha. $85 million seems kind of pricey for a high school, honestly. I mean, I haven't been involved in the cost calculations of construction of a high school. That just kind of on the surface sounds high to me.
Well, that's in addition to Starkville-Oktibbeha County has, I believe, $82 million of a bond for this facility also. So this is in addition to what Stark Block Tibbott County is doing.
Maybe that's just what it costs, and I'm a little dated. So, all right, so tell the folks, why should the school remain on the campus of the W?
Well, you know, the state board did ask for, state board of education did ask for public input. There were only 5 or 6 days that window was open. They received 185 responses saying that it should stay on the campus of MUW. They had 3 responses saying move it to Starkville. There were an additional 24 responses that said start over this process. You know, you need a new process for this. So it's very clear that a lot of people do believe it should stay here. And those letters were from people in the community. They were from former MSMS students. They were from current MSMS students. The MSMS student newspaper did a poll, and I believe it was 93% of the respondents of their students said they wanted to stay on this campus. Having a small campus where they are, you know, nurtured, where they are celebrated, and not just a part of another high school. They chose to leave their home high school to come here.
Gotcha.
So I think it's in the mission of MSMS, our proposal really addressed their needs. The other proposal talked a lot about what it meant for Mississippi State and what it meant for Starkville Octobahaw County School District.
Gotcha.
We also have reached out.
Hey, Nora, we're up against a break. We're up against a break, okay. But hold that thought right there. I'm going to get you to come back and finish this up for part of the next segment. Thanks a lot. Coming right back.
Great. Okay.
Middays with Gerard Gibbert.
Let's do this.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's go.
We're back with you with Nora Miller, president of the Mississippi University for Women. So, Nora, you were telling us about the intimate setting there at the W and how you think that's appropriate for the Mississippi School for Math and Science. And you expressed concern that should it relocate to a larger venue such as Mississippi State, and that's what's been considered in 2024, as you pointed out, that you thought that some of the value associated, I don't want to paraphrase you here, but or speak on your behalf. I'll let you continue. I'm just giving an update to our audience from the prior segment that you thought they may lose some of that personal, intimate touch and feel, which it, I agree is extremely important to students, especially at the high school level, and kind of get lost in the shuffle in a bigger environment. So I'll let you continue with kind of the contrast between the school being at the W or at Mississippi State.
Okay. Well, first I'd like to talk about how successful MSMS is and has been here on our campus. They are funded at about half the per student rate that similar schools in Alabama, Louisiana, Arkansas are funded. Yet they produce twice as many National Merit Scholars as those other schools. So what they're doing is phenomenal. They just need some investment in their facilities, and we need to speak out for them because nobody else has been. They do wonderful things. They are very involved in the community here. They do Tales from the Crypt. Students do research throughout the year of people who are buried in Friendship Cemetery. They write the stories. They write the scripts. They audition. And then during the pilgrimage, they have candlelit tours of Friendship Cemetery where they talk about this. They do a similar thing for the 8th of May celebration here. They're very involved in the community. They're treasured by the city of Columbus. They're able to walk from campus to church. They're able to, here on campus, they are within a few blocks of everything, of their cafeteria, of the library, of the health center, the rec center, all of this is just really handy. And they're able to walk downtown to go to a coffee shop, able to walk downtown to go to church. They're in a very secure environment here where they are known. They do go over to state, some of the students do, for research opportunities. We wanted to expand that so that in our proposal, we talked with Ole Miss, Southern Miss, and Jackson State all said they would love to have opportunities for online dual credit, dual enrollment courses or doing research, offering those opportunities to the MSMS students. So we understand what we do. We have some MSMS students who do research here on our campus and work with our faculty. There are some that go over to Mississippi State. We open that up to the other research institutions.
How are the students selected for admission?
They go through a process of it's based on their test scores, their grade point averages. They interview. It's a very competitive market. And that's one of the things that some of the students who wrote in response to this said that they didn't really think it would be fair. They worked really hard to get into these courses and for them to open this up to other students from Stark Block, Tibaha, who haven't gone through that rigorous process. They had some resentment of that.
So are there some notable alumni of this school, Nora, that you could discuss?
They've got some rocket scientists. They've got attorneys. Most of their graduates who stay in the state of Mississippi are in healthcare or in teaching. So the ones who stay in state are not necessarily the engineering students.
I see. Yeah, well, they got to go where the opportunities are. So that's something that, as you know, we're working on is to try to create more of those opportunities in math and science and engineering and technology so we can keep these great graduates that schools such as yours are turning out.
That's right. And we are offering MSMS graduates who want to continue here at the W, we are offering them full tuition scholarships.
Okay.
And we've got a couple who are taking us up on that. One of them is interested in nursing and healthcare, and one's in theater education. So These students are very well-rounded. They're not just math and science. They're involved in everything else, too. They have music, a great music program. They have sports. They have what they need other than improved facilities.
Are most of the students, Nora, are they close in proximity to say the Golden Triangle area, or do they come from throughout the state?
They're from all over the state.
Okay, all over the state.
They are all residential. Even if they have students from Columbus,
okay,
they still live here on campus.
So I think you made that fairly clear. You made that point earlier that that's a pretty important and critical element of the experience, right, is to be a residential student.
That's right.
It seems to me like that may be a little risky when you're talking about high school students. They're fine with that. Their families are fine with that. The school's fine with that. Does that work out pretty well?
It really does, and that's part of the beauty of it being on our campus, is that we know these students, MSMS students. Last year, one of them said, even everybody in the cafeteria knows my name. We know who these students are.
Yeah.
We have 24/7 police coverage here. We have our campus. Most of our campus is within a gated community. And at nights and weekends, access is restricted. So it's
okay.
It's a good environment. And students, the graduates have said that this was a good kind of stepping stone before venturing off to college, wherever they decided to go after this.
So do the MSMS students interact with the students at the W as well from a social perspective?
We do have shared facilities, and they are welcome to participate. And we have, like, Oktoberfest and things like that, lectures.
Sure.
Anything, our Welty Writer Symposium, MSMS students take part in that. we share the cafeteria, we share the rec center, the library. So in those places, yes, there is interaction. And MSMS students take some of our courses also.
Okay. So they take some of the courses. So they're kind of like a dual enrollment sort of situation?
They are dual enrollment.
Okay.
Some classes are taught by their faculty who are credentialed to do that, similar to the way other school districts are. But then some of them are taking courses directly with NEW students.
Yeah.
With NEW faculty.
Turning our attention back to the W, how are you guys doing from a financial perspective? Everything looking good there?
Well, you know, it would have been looking better if we had gotten some bond funding and some capital appropriations last year, but...
Yeah, that was a big zero last year.
That was. So that's a challenge for us. All those things that go wrong in the middle of the year that you weren't planning on, we're going to have to scramble. So we're having to really watch our pennies knowing that we don't have that safety net.
Are you pleased with the enrollment numbers going into the fall at this point?
At this point, I am. Of course, we always compare to where we were this week last year, and things are looking really good, but there's always that voice in the back of your mind that's saying, are we just getting them sooner, or are we getting more? So we're hoping for more.
In the higher ed,
and it's looking good.
In the higher ed, I'm going to call it an industry for a second here. What are you excited about, and what are you concerned about?
I am excited about possibilities for growth in certain areas. I'm excited about our nursing program, trying to find ways to expand that to help the state address a critical shortage. And also we're seeing an increase in students who are declaring an education major. And that is very encouraging because we know how important teachers are and how important that is to our state when so many school teachers are within a few years of retirement age. So we need to make sure that we're continuing that. I'm excited about our athletic programs and seeing those grow. And we opened our new culinary facility last year, and we're just started a master's program in culinary and hospitality education. And I see that as an area for growth. Once those culinary faculty at high schools and community colleges see our facility, I think they'll be directing some of their students our way.
Yeah. Nora, it's been a pleasure having you on. Enjoyed learning about the W and its current status, and I guess we'll wait to see the legislature convene to see if there's any more discussion about the possible relocation, and we'll talk to you again about that if and when that time comes. Appreciate you coming on.
All right. Thank you. I hope people just remember that the process was predetermined, unfair, and biased.
Nora Miller, the president of the Mississippi University for Women, thanks for joining us. We're coming right back in the Element Well studio.
Middays with Gerard Gibbert.
It is on.
On Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Middays from the Element Well studio. That's a little Foreigner Head Games. The C Spire text line. It's always open, 601-879-4395. Don't forget to go to myelementwells.com or call 601-957-6006 to let Element Wealth help you find your balance between income, growth, and guarantees. The Dow, it's just back and forth hopping over that unchanged line. All three this morning, all three indexes in the green a little bit. Not a major bump upwards, but this is a big week for economic data. Big week in that we've got earnings reports coming out from Microsoft, Meta, Apple, and Amazon all this week. So four of the big seven, the Magnificent Seven, we got July jobs figures and inflation data scheduled to be released later on in the week. And then the Fed's getting together. I don't expect they're going to touch the interest rates at this point, though the president is certainly pushing hard on Jay Powell to do so. I would say he kind of embarrassed him last week in their little tour of the $3 billion Federal Reserve building renovation when Trump was aware of some recent adjustments upward of the price tag, had a document in his pocket prepared to share with Jay Powell in case, as he suspected, he wasn't aware. And Powell said, no. And Trump pulled that piece of paper out. There it is right there. So, dude, you're dealing with somebody that made a living building big structures. You might want to be prepped before he comes to visit, notwithstanding the fact that he's the commander-in-chief.
It seems like a shocking amount of D.C. is filled with people that just show up.
That is absolutely true. Totally, completely true. And that's a problem in government in general, is that you just about can't get fired. And you are often just kind of taking up space, certainly in Washington, and drawing pay. I'm not saying Powell's doing that. But you do that in the private sector, you're done, dude. You're fired. I mean, we're not talking about a little change, a little difference here. We're talking about a major difference. You don't know that, you're not going to make it. I don't care what you're doing. So, but that's why we need more business people, in my view, in government, for sure. On the ceasefire text line, Dan in Hattiesburg says, Gerard, I hope you have a drummer's rug to help protect and anchor your drums. I absolutely do, Dan. I've got a DW kit, and I've got the DW drummer's mat to go with it. The thing I noticed, Dan, is that even without that, the way these drums are designed now with the
rubber feet,
they're just, can't explain it. Like the hi-hat, for example, that has a tendency to walk away from you. And they've got little tacks that impale the surface on both the heel part of the pedal and then the straight-up part of the pedal right underneath the actual pole itself. So it just doesn't move. It's great. And just the way the hardware's built, the stuff is just more stable, more sturdy, and more reliable. In the old days, I used to have to tie a piece of string around my stool, the bass drum, and the hi-hat to keep it all together. And in the old days, by the way, when you'd see these giant concerts, they'd nail that stuff. You'd see the roadies out there putting nails around the feet to keep everything in place.
That's why the modular drum rack became such a popular thing in the late 80s into the 90s, and then it continued for a long time.
Yeah, so it wouldn't walk away from you.
Yeah, because that was, instead of bolting down individual pieces, you could just bolt the rack down, and then everything was staying.
That's
put.
Exactly right. And you have more weight to kind of help it steady itself. So, yeah,
plus
but
the
I
rack
appreciate
allowed
that.
For expansion to larger and larger drum sets to show off your skills and collection.
Yeah. Some of us can't ever get to all of them. It's hard enough just to get to the
in fairness,
feel around
they didn't
me.
Either. They were used in like one part of one song, and then that little tiny Tom over here never got touched again.
Yeah. Cool stuff, though. But once again, Lance Tolbert stuck his head in. He said they talked about the house band performing at 1 o'clock this Thursday, our debut performance at the Neshoba County Fair. Just want to pass that on. That's where we're going to be, at the track, on the stage, 1 o'clock. I got to go from the set, the Super Talk set there on Founder Square, and make my way pronto quicko over to the stage. I got to get there in the morning, set everything up, and then the folks that manage all that stuff at the fair are kind enough to reposition my rug and my kit onto the middle of the stage there. So that's what it, when we get kicked off, our guys have been timing, Rhino, the length of the songs to see how much we can play in that hour we have. And then we got two breaks between races that we're playing a couple of tunes as well. So we're getting the set list all made out. Looking forward to it. Final practice today. And we're good to go at that point. Going to be a whole bunch of fun. Let's see, on the C-Spire text line, my nephew is studying engineering with an AI emphasis, and they are all being told about upcoming offered internships from this project, talking about Mississippi State and Amazon Web Services working in conjunction on some training there. Is there a name for the program specifically, Rhino? You were looking at it. It was somebody pointed out that it's on the Chiron on our video feed, and usually that means our guys have written a story about it. Is there a name for this particular program, this partnership between Mississippi State and Amazon Web Services? I'm not sure there's anything formal.
I don't think there's a formal name.
Yeah, that's fine.
No
big deal. But it's a good deal. So this is the benefit of having a major player such as Amazon Web Services make such a significant investment in the state of Mississippi, because there's just all sorts of economic outgrowth and just other benefits associated with it as well. So it's really going to be a pretty cool deal. Let's see what else we got. Did you see the news article last week? This is on the C-Spire text line, the 662, where Zelensky signed a bill to put the two independent watchdogs that watch for corruption under government control and kind of got himself in hot water. They have protests going on over in Ukraine about it right now. I didn't see it, but are you surprised with this guy at this point that's some action he would take? I'm not. Brian says it's hard to beat Hamas. They are cowards. Well, I agree. Clearly, if you're holding children hostage and you're starving them, yeah, that's like the ultimate cowardice right there. Let's see. You can spend $4 on a restaurant, talking about $4 million, in a heartbeat, so $85 million ain't bad, talking about the investment in that is estimated for a new school facility, a new high school for the Mississippi School for Math and Science. And then what did Nora share with us also? That Oktibbeha County has a bond that they floated to build a new high school. Now, that's one of the counties where we had a combination, right, of Oktibbeha County schools and Starkville, the city public schools, not so long ago. So it wouldn't surprise that a new, larger high school, more modern facility is needed to accommodate that. So let's see what else we got. Somebody said, of course, MSMS needs to be at Mississippi State with exclamation points. My firm is Sharpie in Wayne County, designed schools, and the last new school we designed and built for 350 students was around $10 million 10 years ago. I would say 350 is a bit on the small side, though. Just depends on, of course, the district. But, wow, $10 million 10 years ago. Even that, though, if you translated that to, say, serving 750 students, 1,000 students, $85 million just kind of shocked me. That sounded like a high number, but I don't keep up with that sort of stuff. The president's working with China. He just announced that. Kind of hinting that there may be some breakthroughs. This would be the mother of all trade deals, of course, because of the amount we sell to China and we import from them. Thomas in Greenwood says, will the Chinese tariffs be delayed another 90 days? Kind of like the delay on the situation that I was talking about earlier with Putin and Ukraine. Did we watch two videos of Powell and Trump? In the video, Powell states that Trump added a renovation that had already been done for 5 years. I'm not familiar with that. You know anything about it?
Yeah, that's in the video.
Okay. We're coming right back in the Element Well studio.
Taliupa, Mississippi.
Are we going to do this?
Middays with Gerard Gibbert.
Keep rolling. 3, 2, 1.
On Super Talk, Mississippi.
What a great tune. Simple Minds, a quintessential 80s tune there. So this video you sent me, yeah, that's what they say about those dogs. Belgian, what do they call them?
Malinois,
yeah, Malinois. Is it like an OIS? It's the French, yeah. Sort of, yeah. Yeah.
Belgian, but yeah.
Yeah. So, because Belgium's kind of a blend, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. You sent this video, and we were looking at it, folks. This is, this is in a police department, right?
From what I understand, yeah, it looks like it's police training for canine units, and they've got a German Shepherd and a Belgian Malinois, or however you say it. And they're showing the difference in how the German Shepherd and the Belgian attack the perpetrator in the bite suit.
Yeah.
But the thing that stood out to me is something we've talked about on the air multiple times, is this whole government waste with the budgeting practice of use it or lose it. If that's in a police department, why on earth does a police department of any size need that many office chairs?
And those are the expensive.
Because it's a whole room, wall to wall, packed with office chairs, and that's the quote unquote obstacle the canine officers have to get through to get to the bite suit perpetrator.
And I'm just going to point out, we're not talking about just little fixed leg chairs here. We're talking about rolling chairs, the articulating time with the big backs on them, chair backs, and the what do you call it on the side there. So. Man, those are expensive. That's like, looks like over 100. What do they do with all those things? The sidearms is what I was thinking about. So, arms on the chairs there. But that's a lot of equipment. But it is fascinating to watch the way the two different breeds of dogs approach, right? With the German Shepherd kind of going slow around, making his way through the chairs. And the Belgian Malinois just jumps over. It's incredible. Gorilla Lawn Care says, what is the name of the legislature band, and is there anywhere we can look up to see a performance? So, yeah, it's the House Band. It's six House members and myself. I'm only in it, guys, because it turns out there are no drummers in the House. There are no members of the Senate. This is strictly out of the House. Six House members plus little old me there. The House Band. That's the name of it. Haven't performed live yet. The first performance this Thursday, 1 o'clock at the track, Neshoba County Fair. However, we do not expect this to be the last performance. We expect there to be more future performances. In fact, we're all kind of making our list of new songs we'd like to add. Right now, we're focused on 17 songs. And that's pretty much it. And it's hard to learn to cover 17 songs. But after this gig, I dare say we'll probably add a couple. I got a list of some I'd like to add as well. So a lot of fun, though. I got to tell you, I'm having a blast doing this. These are all great guys. Representative Joseph Tubb, Dan Eubanks, Lance Varner, Noah Sanford, Chuck Blackwell, and Steve Lott. Just great guys. Great to play music with. And when we get together, just so you know, we don't talk politics. Maybe just a little bit, but honestly, we talk music. And we enjoy each other's company playing music. That's what it's all about. So I'm super blessed to have this opportunity. And it's not lost on me. And I'm very grateful to these House members for inviting me to play with them. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's see. People, what does Thomas say? Oh, my gosh. Well, I still don't understand why people are praising the tariffs. Anytime money leaves the economy and enters the Treasury, it causes harm, whether it be job losses for the companies that eat the tariffs or in higher prices for consumers they pay the tariffs. You can say the same for any tax. Imagine the economic growth and prosperity we'd see if taxes were half what they are today. People just don't understand the wealth disparity between America and the rest of the world. We will always be a net importer. I think the other thing people don't understand is that the value of goods and services we import into this country currently stands at about 13% of GDP. And a big component of what we export, services, because we're a much more advanced economy than the rest of the world, such that services comprise the majority of our GDP. Factory output is less than 10% of total GDP now. And jobs in manufacturing are also a small percentage. Not that they're not necessary, and reshoring manufacturing, which is one of the goals of tariffs, is to encourage American companies who have relocated operations and factories overseas to reshore them back into this country. But when they do so, not a whole lot of jobs. We're out of here today. Stay safe and God bless.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.